Hello, welcome to Pod Maverick After Dark. I'm Kirk Henderson, joined by Josh Bowe. It is the first time we have podcasted together in like 3 weeks, maybe a month. I'm not sure. We're too old for this shit. Josh, how are you?
Doing good. Need to figure out. This is probably the longest break we've gone from podcasting since, I don't know. I can't remember last time we actually went this way. Like, we kind of took a little sabbatical when the season ended, but even then that was like a week or two.
Yeah.
So, we got a
lot of stuff happened.
The cobwebs. Yeah, I know.
I adopted two puppies that might be horses, which that was like my main driver. You know, I have this other job that I have offside.
Have you committed to them?
We've formally adopted them. Okay. I have this other job, this company called Offside, the app. It's in the comments. You should download it. Lots of fun. I basically wasn't able to do work for 2 weeks because of all the puppies. And then they didn't pay me because I didn't do work. And I had to have an uncomfortable conversation as a freelancer where I'm just like, I know why I didn't get paid. I'm just rather surprised that somebody noticed that I didn't do my work in order to not get paid. Like, it was very... It's very embarrassing. But as a result, you know, the last time kind of you and I talked, I think it was largely after like the Jason Kidd firing. Like, it's been that long. We've held a couple of mock drafts. I think we're going to hold another one this week here on Pod Maverick. Maybe we'll host one. It's next week. I can't remember. We're going to get another one up. Those have been a lot of fun. We have a lot of things that we could talk about. And I think it's the one that we should talk about first. Might as well kick off with the coaching search, which has gone precisely nowhere. And I think I'm a little shocked about that. What's your read on it?
I think they would want to have a coach before the draft, because you just kind of want to be aligned on that. Obviously they don't have to have the coach done before the draft. It's not like the Mavericks are, I don't know. This pick is going to be a good player that's going to slot right into the rotation right away. So it's not like any coach that they hire after the fact is going to be like, ooh, like, I don't like this guy. But I don't know. Like, there's a lot of varying opinions of players in the range that the Mavericks are picking. It feels like there's like five different guys that they could be picking in the next couple of weeks. So maybe you would want your coach to be aligned with one of the guy that you want to pick. So, but there's still time. I mean, there's what? They got about a week, a little over a week before, and they could certainly get that done by then. I mean, the Masai news kind of came out of nowhere. There wasn't really a buildup, I remember, to that hiring. So it's very possible that this could happen without us getting like a lead up into it with rumors and stuff. But I think the thing that I'm encouraged by is, at least the reporting that we've seen, is they seem to be wanting to go for like, you know, a rising assistant, not like a retread name, except for one, which is kind of funny. Most of the names rumored are guys that have not been head coaches before. And I think me and you are probably aligned that we want someone young, fresh, new, that's going to be a grinder that wants to prove themselves. And it sounds like most of the names that have been rumored are kind of those kind of guys.
It's very funny. I think the Mavericks were caught a little bit, I don't want to say unaware, but they were too late to Sean Sweeney. That was something that was reported. Like, they were too late. And that is a little surprising to me.
Do you think that they really wanted, with Masai's insistence of seemingly starting fresh, does Sweeney's previous connection to the Kidd regime like maybe cause hesitation there? Like, I wonder, does he want just someone completely new in the building and not someone that was there during the quote unquote dark times of the last 18 months?
That would make the most sense to me. But I also think when you have like the superstar Cooper Flagg, like, we're going to talk draft in a little bit, but I think even out of a redraft of all these guys that are coming in this very solid looking draft, Cooper would still go number one. When you have that guy, I think if I'm the front office, my assumption is I'm going to have the pick of whoever I want, because I have the best, like, our team has the best starting point from any of the teams that would need head coaches. And I think one of the elements of this where maybe Ujiri has missed, the front office has missed a little bit, is like, a coaching guys, there's only 30 head coaching jobs. And each offseason, there's fewer than 10 per team, or fewer than 10 openings per offseason. And so guys aren't necessarily going to wait around, even if a good job might be available, particularly if a team's not interviewing, which the Mavericks weren't. Like, they moved a little slow on this, and that's largely intentional. So I think that they were probably okay missing on Sweeney, but I'm a little confused at how this is rolled out. I don't think it's a problem. If they don't have a coach before the draft, I ultimately don't really think that that's something to be concerned about, because they're going to get whatever guy they choose. It's just that certain pieces are off the board by that point. So I thought it was a little bit interesting. Nothing to, you know, I'm usually grumpy negative, and I just couldn't really work myself up over this one.
That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. They could announce tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, there's keep in mind our friend Mark Stein, friend of the show, always been quite wonderful to us, to be honest, compared to some of the local media. He's going to come up repeatedly here, and he because he's the only person who's actually, you know, reporting anything Maverick adjacent right now.
He really is.
The flip side of this, though, is like, I wonder what Mark would say to this. Mark had like 3 reports last year that were immediately turned over, like almost like the next day. Like the UG, he had a post like within 36 hours of the Ujiri hiring, where it's like, yeah, things are going slow, and then Mavericks fired Masai Ujiri. And it's like, it was the Anthony Davis one. It's like, oh, there's not really any offers for Anthony Davis. And so it's like, he's been the only one reporting. And so a lot of what we're going to talk about next comes with the understanding of, like, I don't know, the last few times, like, things have gone sideways, or not sideways, because like reporting changes quickly. Like, you're only able to report what you know, which leads me directly into sort of the next really what I would consider a big piece of news. Is Mark Stein reports that the Mavericks have heard offers about Kyrie Irving and are not interested in moving Kyrie Irving at this juncture. What's your reaction to that?
My reaction is, I think things will change in four to 6 weeks. I think things will change. I'm not saying that he's going to be traded, but I think teams, once the ball gets rolling on transactions, and it is, as we've seen with the CBA, it's really hard to acquire players now. Like, free agency doesn't exist. Trades are kind of trades and draft, and trades are harder than ever because of all the financial restrictions that come with trades, depending on how deep into the apron you are. So it's harder than ever in the NBA, I think, to make moves, and guys that are available. So, like, to me, it's like, let's see what happens when Giannis gets traded and who he gets traded to. Like, there are going to be some teams that don't get the guy that they want, whether it's a trade in the draft or a player they want in the draft or an acquisition. And maybe teams get a little bit more desperate and those offers, those calls come in, and then the offers change. And I just want to wait and see until then. I think the thing that Stein noted in his report, like, he says, thus far, they've been telling teams no, thus far, not permanently, not, you know, like, thus far. That means, that explicitly means, up to this point, that means things could change next week, tomorrow. I mean, the reporting leaves some wiggle room there that I don't think it's ironclad that the Mavericks are just not going to trade Kyrie Irving this offseason. That's not me saying they should, sure, shouldn't, whatnot. I think that everything's open. I think since Kidd got dismissed, I think that has opened up to me the possibilities that Masai wants to kind of really start fresh with this organization, from bottom up and top down. I don't think he's probably going into this summer, if I'm trying to read minds, probably like, I need to trade Kyrie, but I cannot imagine if the offer doesn't come, that's like, well, we got to do this. You know,
he,
like,
makes such a weird amount of money.
Kyrie.
Yeah. He makes like, what, I could pull it up, but I'm not a professional podcaster. My brain is telling me something in the neighborhood of $40 million.
Yeah,
the best NBA players make. Yeah, NBA players make like 55 to 75, and then everyone else makes $20 million or less. Nobody makes this kind of money. So you gotta.
He makes. He's gonna make 39 this season and 42 next season.
No, like, you. There's no 1-for-1 offer that's out there. There's a 2-for-1 or a multi-team trade. Like, that's the only way you can get the money to work, even with the money rules being a little bit different in the offseason. Secondary thing for me is I think he's such, and I've repeated this going back to, you know, the start of the season, he is such an appreciated vet around the league. I think the Mavericks, even under a new ownership or even under a new front office group, sort of owe it to themselves to treat him well.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's got to be a partnership. Third and the final thing is, like, I argue with some of our staff about this, who I think are just ready to totally rebuild. The Kyrie basketball watching experience on a night in, night out basis. Like, if you are a grinder, if you're watching every game, which I suspect if you're listening to our podcast in the middle of June, you are a lunatic. Watching Kyrie Irving play basketball is objectively fun. And after the point guard play we just witnessed, I'm looking forward to a little bit of fun. So I'm not super interested in moving him. And then the final thing, because I'm trying not to talk about players in terms of assets and things like that anymore, just because it feels a little nasty. Assets depreciate. Every day you don't trade Kyrie, he gets worth a little bit less. He gets older. He's a day older. So the guy's in his 30s. So it's, you know, if you don't find a deal, sometimes that player's worth more to you on your team than it would be another team. That's fine. I'd be okay if Kyrie rides out his contract. Honestly, the Mavericks aren't going anywhere. This is the thing we got to understand. We're going to talk about the finals at the end of the show. The Mavericks are not contending. Yeah. Sorry. Like, as I had one really friendly Mavs fan, it's like, they have to be kind of title contenders by 2029. I would love that. Don't see it.
Yeah. That's fine.
Mean it can't happen. I just don't see it right now. So.
And also in a draft that's very point guard heavy, and you assume the Mavericks would be drafting potentially a new point guard of the future, like having Kyrie around in the locker room to help bring that guy along is not the worst idea in the world. I'm just saying, like, let's say Miami doesn't get Giannis. Let's say he goes to Boston. Minnesota, who wanted to try to trade for Giannis, I think at the last trade deadline, their general manager very much makes big, bold, risky moves, likes to make big trades. Like, let's say, like, Miami or Minnesota, who both could use a Kyrie, they don't get Giannis. Like, I just think things are going to change. Like, once it's easy to say, oh, we're turning down offers now, he's not for sale, because no movement has really happened yet. Teams aren't desperate right now. Like, that's in 3 weeks, when it's like if Minnesota's looking around and is like, man, all these guys are flying off the board, we didn't get Giannis, like, Oklahoma City is still great, the Spurs are just going to get better. Like this is our chance. Like, what are we going to do? Maybe they call the Mavs back and are like, hey, we'll throw in this and this. And then it's like, at that point, you know, it's not, you're not doing franchise diligence if you don't listen or potentially accept that offer. So I don't necessarily think he's going to get traded, but I think that there's going to be calls and there's going to be more listening than what's being alluded to maybe right now. And that's just my hunch on it, because I just think teams are going to get desperate in the next 3 weeks if they don't get the guy that they want in the draft or trade acquisition, and then we'll see from there.
Which leads us to Stein's written like three pieces in 3 days, so I can't remember which one, but he had this paragraph, so I'm going to read it verbatim, and it's important that the verbatim element of this for me is important. Klay Thompson, PJ Washington, and Daniel Gafford, as we speak, are the veterans the Mavericks are seen as most open to trading. Okay. Are seen as most open to trading. That phraseology is incredibly important here. That is external. That is not internal. When it comes to trading people, and really when it comes to how this front office moves entirely right now, I need to emphasize this. And the news seekers, like the actual reporters, are in a bit of a bind right now. Because if you knew Mike Schmitz from before, good luck trying to get information from him on or off the record. If you knew Masai Ujiri from before he was with the Maverick, good luck. There is no incentive for this front office right now to tell anyone anything. So if you see someone saying, sources say, their sources are, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
Mark Stein, one of the most connected people within the Mavericks organization last 25 years, is not reporting that the Mavericks are saying this. He's saying other people see it that way, which, not to be rude, duh. Of course.
Yeah, I mean, if you've been covering the Mavs for 20 years, like, think about how much overturn has been in the last 18 mm-hmm. months. Like, all those sources you had are gone. Like, you, it takes time to rebuild and learn anew. Like, these are all new guys. And we saw that when Donnie
yes.
was fired and Nico came in, there was kind of like a lull in reporting. Remember, like, I remember when, and especially when Cuban sold the team, I remember it was like, it felt like the rumor, like the reporting on the Mavs was just not there. And it was because, well, Cuban used to tell these guys everything. And now he's not in charge of the basketball ops anymore. Like, none of these reporters knew, had Patrick DeMont's cell phone before he bought the team. Like, it takes time. They had to rebuild those relationships and establish new sourcing. And I think we're going to see that here. Like, it's yep. going to take time for these reporters to entrench themselves into this new regime. So I think for the next couple months, it might, these reports might seem murky. Yep. And that's because they're like, you know, Stein's probably relying on outside sources that he's built relationships with to try to get an idea of until he has more comfortable, he's more comfortable with the new Mavericks front office.
And so just to talk about the three guys real quick, and not even yeah. just as a grouping, yeah. to me, all three of them have trade value.
And all three of them honestly should have been traded at the last bingo. Trade deadline.
Bingo. Like, bingo. Yeah.
Let's be it's real.
Very unfortunate. I mean, PJ wasn't eligible. He's the one who.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there you go. There you go.
PJ's probably the most interesting
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
You're going to see him thrown around in lots of different stuff. I hope they do right by him. He's been a good Maverick. Daniel Gafford, another guy who I appreciate a lot more than I would have thought upon acquisition. And Klay Thompson, wild Dallas Maverick. We're going to be talking about him for a long time, kind of like the way we talk about Vince Carter. It's just, you know, there's so many elements with him where it's pretty funny to me.
Yeah, and the funniest thing about the Mavs is they were so bad last season, but I was watching, like, when I watched the playoffs, I was like, there's like four guys from this Mavericks roster that could have helped five or six playoff teams. Like, yep. thinking about Klay Thompson in Detroit, thinking about Najee Marshall, maybe like in Minnesota, PJ Washington with the Spurs would have been an incredible fit. Like, if I'm the Spurs, I would be calling about PJ Washington, because you think about like Wimby, mm-hmm. like they basically have guards and Wimby. Like, they yep. don't have a power, like that swing forward. Like, that was Harrison Barnes during the regular season. They couldn't play him in the playoffs. Like, Champagne was awesome, but he's like a 6'5 swing player. Like, PJ Washington's a legit 6'7, can play backup five in a pinch, yep. like rim protector, like legitimate size as a forward. Like, the Spurs didn't really have that. They had a bunch of guards and then they had Wimby. So, yeah, there are like five players on this Mavericks roster that I think the top five or six teams from each conference could be like, yes, you would help us. You would walk in right away and be a top six rotation guy and legitimately help us. So,
and just for the record, I don't want to poo-poo anybody's trade ideas. I'm just setting my standards low, because with the new draft lottery rules, I don't think you see a single pick beyond 2029 getting traded. I think it's going to be, you're going to be really hard pressed. So I just sort of am setting my expectations low. I would love to be blown out of the water by some interesting move. So yeah, that's sort of the highlight there. Okay. We're about halfway through. Josh and I were trying to stay tight, even though we can ramble about some of this stuff forever. Remember, there's lots of different ways you can support the show. Listen to those ads. We're going to pump in there. What else? I don't even remember my own shtick anymore. I would like it if you guys would download that Offsides app. It's a lot of fun. There's if you go to offside.gg, it is a new app, app I've been using all year, putting up some like short form video, very fun statistically. Lots going on there. It would help me out. If you want to support Josh and I directly, there's a link in the show notes, but I don't think we're at that point anymore. That's okay. So I'm gonna insert those ads and we will be right back. All right. Welcome back to the show here. I accidentally skipped one of my earlier notes. I don't know how I did that. So the draft happened pretty quickly. You and I have not talked about it very much. There's been a lot of content on Mavs Money, but I'm talking about it with other guys here on the show here regularly. To me, like right now, the things that, you know, there's a lot of consensus mock drafts and et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot that can happen before the day. There's a lot going on, like top four. There's potential movement with the Clippers, with the Nets. I've even heard some whispers of like Utah being interested in doing weird stuff. There's just a lot that's up in the air right now. Understanding that, the Mavericks are picking ninth. And to me, a lot of the news we've been seeing is as Barry's from Arizona getting mocked to the Mavericks regularly. And what I'm seeing from that, because of the aforementioned, the front office is saying nothing. What is happening to me with Barry's constantly getting mocked to the Mavericks is that Clutch Sports is filling that void with their information. I'm not going to call it misinformation. That's not what I mean. But they're letting every draft analyst know this guy would like to play for the Mavericks. And I think that's really, really interesting. Have you learned anything about any of these draft prospects, or is your brain still turned off to the draft?
I've learned a little bit. I really enjoyed the last mock draft podcast y'all did. No, it was fun. Like, that format was really great for those guys, who was Tyler, Brian, and Jack, I believe. Yep. Mm-hmm. They know their stuff. Pay attention. Oh yeah, David as well. Sorry, I apologize. That was just a really fun format, and that actually helped me. That helped me a lot. And so the thing that I'm gaining from this is Burries is very kind of, because he's not a point guard. So it's like you look at the Mavericks needs and they need a point guard. They need ball handling. So I'm not sure. He seems kind of, it feels like there's a potential for there's like six or seven, like really, really good point guards. And the Mavericks are picking ninth. I don't know how to start. It feels like the Mavericks are right at a level where all the point guards that are like
that they would want.
Tier one point guards are gone.
There's that point. Yep. Mm-hmm. It's happened every time we've mocked.
Yeah. So, but I don't, you know, Burry's athletic guard that can play defense and shoot threes and run the floor. They just need youthful bodies. Like, it's going to be hard for me. I'm obviously like detached from like
sure.
the rah-rah, you know, cheerleader pom-pom part of it. It really just feels like if they can get someone that can chew gum and, you know, chew bubble gum and walk at the same time and is youthful and can do stuff, like, they just need more of those guys. Like, they've been running vets and kind of these undrafted guys next to Cooper Flagg. Like, Brandon Williams and Ryan Nimhardt are awesome, but it's like, can we get a blue chipper in here? So it feels like it's going to be hard to be that disappointed with whoever they pick. But I know people get attached to their guys during this process, so I don't blame anyone for wanting one guy over the other.
I normally stake out really strong opinions on draft guys because I love this. And I just can't get myself going because I really wanted Mikel Brown out of Louisville, and he's just not going to be there. My friend Kevin O'Connor thinks that there's a chance he could be there, but that's just because I think everything's tossed up in the air right now. Like, I just don't see it.
I know all these guys have incredible YouTube highlight packages. His YouTube highlight package is the one, like, that's how I'm doing this. I'm watching these guys' clips on YouTube and forming opinions. That's why I'm not talking about it as much, because those opinions don't matter. Everyone has a great YouTube highlight clip. But I will say, of all the guys with YouTube highlight clips, his is really... This is really impressive.
Here's the argument, kind of in a nutshell for me. He outweighs every one of these point guards by 25 pounds. He is an NBA ready body.
You like girth
right now? Well, I mean,
girth
matters. Like, and you just watch the playoffs right now. Dylan Harper is in our division. Dylan Harper is 6'4", Giannis Antetokounmpo. That guy cannot be stopped. Guess who's also on their team? Victor Wembanyama. So, like, a team with two guys who are theoretically unstoppable, like, you just got to – that's where my head is with it. At the end of the day, whoever they pick, you know, Kingston Fleming, point guard out of played ball in Houston, but he played high school ball in San Antonio. Ron of DLLS Sports, when he covered high school basketball, he was like, this is one of the best players I've ever seen. He's 6'2", with not a great wingspan, but just an S-tier level mind, and also seems to be ready to play right now. Like, this is probably a terrible comparison, and somebody's going to yell at me for it, but he gives me, like, Charlie Ward vibes, And for anybody who's not old enough to know who Charlie Ward was, he was a Heisman winning quarterback that decided to play basketball instead and spent 12 years, you know, spent a really long time in the league as a functional, useful point guard. I think that if you want to go like swing, I get it. Mavs film room is in the comments earlier and said, you know, I wouldn't, if they pass on any of these guards that happen to fall, I'm going to be pissed off. And like, that's that, I get it. I'm just at the point now where I can talk myself in to all of them, because Cooper Flagg's the hard part. And then you build from there. It's just, I'm going to be very interested to see what kind of team Masai Ujiri builds, because let's just be honest, as much as like, okay, we're really happy with the guy, like these Toronto basketball teams have been largely unwatchable, horrible. I'm sorry. They are like 6'9" guys who can't shoot is not interesting basketball to me. I don't want to watch, you know, 102 to 97 games. I like scoring. It's just who I am.
It'll be very interesting to see if the time away from Masai has changed anything about his philosophy and
which is time away was like building. A year.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes that's all it takes, though, to watch from the outside a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
Well, then, so the Mavericks have two other picks. The 30th pick is going to be very fun. Like locking up a potential guy, like a very inexpensive contract. Like if you can get a rotation player with pick 30, you have knocked the draft out of the park. It's just, it's very, very difficult to get functional starters later in the draft. The Dallas Mavericks have had a knack for it in their lifetime. It's just keeping those players on the team a little bit harder than you'd think. No. Speaking of,
what about moving up from 30?
I don't know, because I think the move is, you know, that's where you saw in our mock draft the chaos of picks 12 to 18, where in those six picks are owned by four teams, and like that, just four teams, and two of those teams are the Hornets and the Thunder. Neither of those teams needs those picks. Like
the Thunder literally cannot make all these picks that they have. They have to consolidate these picks. So that, like, can you convince them to go? Can you go up? Can you go get 17 from 30? I don't know.
Yeah, that was why our, like, I just think that if the draft gets funky, it gets funky following pick 9, which is the Dallas Mavericks pick. So following the Mavericks pick, everything goes sideways. What else do I have here on my rundown? I gotta let you in on a little secret, guys. Sometimes Josh and I don't ever have a rundown. I had one this time. I'm very proud.
Yeah, and you did it. Yeah, I'm proud of you.
It was exciting. All right, so the rest of the show, we're gonna be talking about finals adjacent things. So if you want to tune out, I get it. But here we are. So the New York Knicks defeated the San Antonio Spurs in 4-1 in a series where the Spurs led 72% of the minutes. Absolutely hilarious. Victor Wembanyama was a guy who put up a lot of good counting stats, but was actually in the second and fourth quarters of finals game of the finals games, he died. Who took advantage of his death? One, Jalen Brunson and OG Anunoby. The Knicks obviously sort of assembled their team in an F them picks fashion. Where they got Brunson from the Mavericks and a deal that may or may not have been done before he was even left the team. Doesn't really matter now. And then trading a bunch of picks for guys who are on their team now. And they played a really, like, I have not enjoyed a final series that much, I think, since maybe Toronto. No, the Toronto Golden State series was marred by injuries. I mean, we got to go back to like 2016, really. I had a great time. How much of this did you watch?
I actually watched a lot. It was great. I like it, like, not a new opinion, but like really fun for a 5-game series. I was desperately, you know, hoping the Spurs could win like one more game just because I wanted the series to keep going.
Me too.
Just because it was fun to watch. And the thing that really stood out to me was just like, it happens every playoffs, but it's like, wow, like this is fucking basketball. Like, you think about the regular season games that we've been watching, like the difference between like a regular season game in March and like what we just watched between the Knicks and the Spurs, the chasm has never been wider, I feel, between like 82 games and then the 16 games. Just the intensity, the physicality, just the talent level, like the giving a fuck level, like it's outrageous. And it just reminded me, like, you know, the Mavericks are very far away. And it made me, you know, I kind of wish that we could see some of that basketball more in the regular season. I understand why we can't. But that's another whole nother discussion. But
hey, the in season tournament was validated. It was the same two teams. Really wild.
Yeah, that's funny. But it was a good time. And I was just taken aback by the intensity and just like the skill level of these teams, especially like once we got to the conference finals, like Thunder, Spurs, Knicks, Cavs. I mean, and then Knicks, Cavs was kind of a joke, but the Western Conference Finals and then the NBA Finals, it was just like, it feels like they're playing different sport when you compare to like what we had to watch in February, March, to close out the regular season. Like, it's pretty crazy.
We're getting some interesting like revisionist history now that's Mavericks adjacent, where like there's one of the very funny Twitter accounts, like College Football Reddit, was like, oh, the Mavericks could have had Luka Doncic, Jalen Brunson, and Cooper Flagg. And now it's like, that's not how this, like, what the fuck are you talking about? And like the Brunson thing, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about Brunson. I can't believe it was 4 years ago. How Brunson got away is pretty well documented. We were very frustrated as a group, as Mavs fans were. If you were a Mavs fan who believed in Brunson enough to where you thought he could be the superstar on a team, that's good for you, man. I didn't see it. I wanted them to trade him. I have lots of tweets in the record. Like, he drove me nuts. Like, there's a reason Rick Carlisle didn't play his ass in that playoff series against the Clippers. They lost every minute he played badly. Like, he was... Brunson, part of why the Mavericks, like, because he only played like 10 minutes a game. He couldn't be on the floor in that 2021 Clippers series. Do you remember this?
No, I do. But then in the 2022 playoffs, he was times their best player. You know?
So it's like from that to that is what's remarkable. And it's like, if you want to hold somebody accountable for that, I think you start and you're, I think you might be surprised with what I'm going to say here. If you want to hold somebody accountable for that, you start with Rick Carlisle. Not with Donnie Nelson, Mark Cuban, etc. You start with Rick Carlisle for not seeing it.
No. Well, I mean, I'll start with whoever, however he got a contract that didn't make him a restricted free agent.
That's right.
But then you're right. Yeah, absolutely. Because obviously Kidd, you know, say what you will about Jason Kidd, but he got the most out of Jalen Brunson immediately. I don't know how much you want to credit Kidd for that over just Brunson, you know, Brunson being a pretty dedicated hard worker and honing his craft. But I mean, the Brunson thing, like, it's funny because it's not just Brunson, it's, you have in our show note, Casey Smith is the head of sports medicine for the Knicks, and don't know if anyone noticed, but the Knicks, none of their starters I think missed a game in the playoffs. They were a pretty relatively healthy team all season. And Casey Smith kind of had a nice little pop off online about it, which deservedly so. If you remember the reporting, Nico fired him while he was tending to his sick mother. It's definitely refueled a lot of arguments the last couple of weeks, and it's kind of been funny. You know, I'm all for kicking the Mavs for stupid stuff. Don't get me wrong, but I'm trying to figure out where I need to save my punches, because it's like, how much do I want people to yell at me this week? And sometimes I don't feel like I want anyone to
yell at me. There's two things about the Brunson element that I think are worth being honest about. The first is that had he signed that contract, he would have been the first person traded, even for Kyrie Irving. I believe that. Kyrie Irving in 2022 was still regarded as a better player than Jalen Brunson. Is that true in 2026? Kyrie has never been the number one option on a team that won the NBA Finals. So I think the answer there is no. But basketball is not about having, like, it is a team sport. And Kyrie Irving, for all of his challenges, is a top tier number two option. The way him and Luka worked together was pretty fucking awesome. Now, could you make the argument that that Luka and Brunson could do that? I guess. But candidly, Brunson and Luka play a lot closer, similar games than a lot of people want to admit. Like, Brunson dominates that time of possession. Kyrie Irving is a scalpel. He's not a sledgehammer, comparatively. So it's just, I get the fit. So it's like, I have a hard time beating the Mavericks on this stuff.
Well, what's funny is it similarly to the Nash thing that, you know, it's almost eerie, the parallels. They let Nash go, and then what? 18 months later, they're in the finals. Yeah. They let Brunson go. 2 years later, they're in the finals. Like,
Jesus.
They rebounded from the Brunson era about as well as you can. They went to the finals. The problem is, you know, kind of everything else around it. And, of course, the problem is like...
Hold on one second. Parker Robert, come here. Parker Robert, come here. Come here. I gave you one request, and it was to get through this, not cause problems.
Hey, Kirk, you're on mute.
I know I wasn't on mute. Okay. I did that on purpose. I am parenting.
Sorry.
He's up extra late because of basketball practice. He'll live.
I understand. But no, the thing is, they didn't get to the finals because it just made it harder. Like, you know, like, there's a way you could be like, well, they made the finals after they lost Brunson, so maybe it was the right decision. It's like, no, you made it harder. Like, you, even if you still want to move on from Brunson, like, you don't lose him.
Yeah.
You don't lose him for nothing.
Yeah.
So,
and that's the real tough one, anyhow.
Yeah.
All right. The Casey Smith one I have to address.
No, it's bad. It's bad.
Like, and I said this, and I did the video for Offside. I'm going to post it here. So, once more with feeling, fuck Nico Harrison. What a cunt. He is just a bad person. I hope he fails the rest of his life. I can't begin the sense of palpable rage with every fucking misstep of that ass clown. I'm just so frustrated. Casey Smith was a trainer for Team USA, the penultimate basketball organization in the world. Not like the world. And Nico Harrison had the gall to fire him and two of his staff over a Zoom meeting. And then if Smith is to be believed, and I think he has earned the benefit of the doubt on this one, part of the reason why he was given that he was fired was that he didn't match the culture. Since Casey Smith is a champion and Nico Harrison is a bum on the street, I think he was right. He didn't match the Mavs culture. He's a winner. Mavericks were losers.
Yeah. I wonder how much of that is because Smith was buddy, like, 100%. You know, with Cuban and Nico, you know, Nico wanted all the power. Like, that was his thing. And like, how am I going to leave this guy who had such an influential voice in the Cuban regime? I'm not going to leave this guy.
Letting that happen though is in hindsight, like,
yeah,
like, because that was under Cuban. That happened under Cuban. That's unacceptable.
That was before he sold the team? Casey Smith was let go before he sold the team? Oh, he was, wasn't he?
Pretty sure. Yeah. And if he's not, I'm sorry, Mark, slandered you once again, but I'm pretty sure I'm right.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, I can't.
Because it was, remember, he was not on, it was in like the first real season, or like the second season of Kid.
Well, Cuban sold the team.
It was after
2023. Yeah, 2023 December was when Cuban sold the team. So I think Smith was gone by then.
Because it was the year that Luka went for 60 against the Knicks in the Garden. And like, that was right around when Cuban sold the team. And he had been like, all of a sudden Smith wasn't around anymore. And we're asking all these questions. And it's like they lost everything all at once. And I again, good for Smith for getting for basically showing that he is, in fact, really good at his job. As I said on the video, I'm not here to slander the current Mavs medical staff, but the proof is in the pudding. They can't keep anybody healthy, like anybody. Like the Mavericks have not been, you know, Derek Lively's whole situation. I mean, they fired some of those people.
Yeah,
they relitigate everything.
They're restarting, but yeah, I know. It's what we've been talking about for a while, for the last year and a half. It's like what a waste of time this all was, like the last 18 months of having to cover this, watch this, like just hitting the restart button unnecessarily, like detonating a franchise overnight. And again, not going beyond the Luka trade, like the medical staff, what they've done with Derek Lively, just all this stuff. It just sucks because it's going to take them a while to dig out of this now. Like, and it reinforces how much of a waste it felt like this has all been. For like really petty, foolish, stupid very stupid reasons. I don't know what else you could say about it. It's just very stupid that it had to come to this way.
Yeah. Friend of the show, Isaac Harris of Locked On Mavs, has a tweet up where he says he's breaking news and it's a video and I can't watch it because we're on a thing. So if someone wants to tell me what's in it, because sometimes people use breaking news like in a sassy fashion, I'm not able to do both. I don't know, man. I've really enjoyed not talking about Nico for a very long time. And I don't, it's, you know, I was explaining to one of my Spurs fans friends who was like getting really angry with me because I'm like, I hate Victor Wembanyama. I was just saying, I was like, because I do, I hate Victor Wembanyama. I hate Victor Wembanyama the same way I hated Shawn Michaels in 1998 when he was wrestling Stone Cold. I don't hate Victor Wembanyama. I enjoy hating you Victor Wembanyama.
Sports hate.
Yes, it's not real, even unless he like hurts Cooper on purpose, which is entirely within the realm of possibility. But like, it's fun. Like there's like, it's a, there's a, you know, there's a real joy in rooting against someone who is worth rooting against. Nico Harrison is not worth rooting against. He's not worth thinking about, but he keeps existing and will till the end of my Mavs life. And so it's like, I hate that. Like that I do hate. So I don't know.
No, the Isaac's video is a joke. Cause it's, okay. It's like it's a report saying the Hawks and the Mavericks appear open to moving up or down in the draft. I think Isaac is making a joke of like, no shit. Like there's only, what else can you do?
Or staying place.
That's what I get.
That's a great bit. Good job. Shit. Yeah. And then lastly, yeah, before we close out the show, slightly biased, went on the LLS show today. And part of why I don't think I've been invited back on that show is because I went on with some shorts that had a 5-inch inseam. And so, and that wasn't on purpose. It was 1,000 degrees. And I just, you got a lot of Kirk thigh on the show that day. Today, we got a lot of slightly biased thigh. And I ended up asking Kevin, and he was like, Mark Cuban too. So me, Mark Cuban, and slightly biased are our best friends because we wear man shorts on live television.
You, with all the Orange Theory rowing you've done, show off the thighs, man.
All right. So we'll be back next week. I'm either going to host a show on Wednesday night or we're going to do another. I think we have to do our last mock draft because if we do it, because what day is the draft on?
In the 26th.
The 26th or the 25th. So that's a week from Thursday. Yeah. So we got, you know, roughly 8-9, you know, business days until then. So we'll go, well, I don't know. We'll do something. There'll be a little more content. I just haven't wanted to fill people's feed with stuff. Cause it's like, you gotta, I don't know about you, but I still subscribe to a lot of basketball shows I don't listen to.
23rd, 24th. So Tuesday and Wednesday.
Okay. So we do have to, okay. This, then if we, mm-hmm. I think we will do the mock draft this Thursday. So that's plenty of, you know, that's a few days for folks to listen to it. You guys can look forward to killing Tyler for drafting, like he drafted like all power forwards. So I got to tell him that he is the guy from Ocean's 11 who all reds,
all reds.
You know, my favorite bit. Thanks so much for hanging out with us tonight, guys. We will be back when we're back. Just, you know, subscribe to the YouTube show, subscribe to the podcast. You can get notified whenever we go live. Everybody be good. Have a great rest of your week and go Mavs.